there shall be signs in the sun, and in the moon, and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear, and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. One man, one microphone, one mission, one message. True News, the only newscast reporting the countdown to the second coming of Jesus Christ. And now for the most powerful hour on radio, here is End Time Newsman, Rick Wiles.
This is True News, 1 hour of uncensored news, views, and commentary. Welcome to the program. I'm Rick Wiles. Add another scandal to Barack Obama's troubles. Breitbart.com reported that the Department of Justice Inspector General published a new report Monday that confirms former U.S. Attorney for Arizona Dennis Burke leaked a document intended to smear Operation Fast and Furious scandal whistleblower John Dodson. Operation Fast and Furious is the Obama White House's criminal gun-running operation to supply weapons to Mexican drug cartels. The inspector general said it found Burke's conduct in disclosing the Dodson memorandum to be inappropriate for a department employee and wholly unbefitting a U.S. attorney. The Spectre magazine said it may have found the smoking gun in the IRS harassment scandal, the White House visitor's log. On March 31, 2010, the White House visitor's log revealed that Barry Satoro, alias Barack Obama, met with Colleen Kelly at 12:30 p.m. Colleen Kelly is the president of the National Treasury Employees Union, the 150,000-member labor union that represents IRS employees. The union is vehemently opposed to the Tea Party movement of American patriots and is a big supporter of Barack Obama. The very next day after her White House meeting with Barry Satoro, according to the Treasury Department's report, IRS employees, the same employees who belong to her union, began their IRS campaign of dirty tricks to harass Tea Party, conservative, and Christian organizations. The Washington Post published a detailed report on a 2009 Department of Justice investigation that used a wide variety of tracking and surveillance methods to follow the whereabouts and communications of James Rosen, chief Washington correspondent for Fox News. According to the newspaper, which obtained court records for the case, the FBI tracked Rosen's movements out of federal office buildings, his phone records, and his private email accounts. Republican Party National Committee Chairman Rince Priebus accused Barack Obama of having, quote, built up an atmosphere of guerrilla warfare, end of quote, in American politics. Senate Republican Minority Leader Mitch McConnell said the IRS scandal is evidence of a culture of intimidation by the Obama White House. Ohio Senator Rob Portman said he believes a special counsel to investigate the IRS targeting of conservatives would be ultimately necessary. And Barry Satoro's political advisor, Dan Pfeiffer, defiantly refused to answer Fox News reporter Chris Wallace's repeated questioning about the whereabouts of Barack Obama on the night four Americans in Benghazi begged for help from the U.S. government before being slaughtered by a bloodthirsty mob of Islamic fanatics. Mr. Pfeiffer said Mr. Obama's whereabouts that night is not relevant. Utah Congressman Jason Chaffetz said Barack Obama may face impeachment over his failure to do his duty as commander-in-chief in the Benghazi tragedy and participating in a cover-up of the facts. My comment to the congressman, you don't impeach a Saudi foreign plant posing as the president. You arrest him like you would arrest any other foreign spy. Despite the scandals, Mr. Obama is rolling along and carrying out his Marxist takeover of America. According to a recent issue of Amnesty International magazine, a senior U.S. diplomat said Mr. Obama plans to sign the U.N. Global Gun Control Treaty, despite the fact that the U.S. Senate has not even considered the treaty or ratified it. Mr. Obama is expected to sign the U.N. Gun Grabber Treaty on June 3rd. And in case you think that I only go after the Democrats for setting up a police state, Let me report this news too. Republican Senators Orrin Hatch and Jeff Flake successfully persuaded the U.S. Senate today to adopt an amendment to Mr. Obama's Amnesty for Illegal Immigrants bill that will require biometric scanning for all foreign visitors coming to the USA, passing through America's top 30 airports. The biometric scanning is scheduled to start in 2015. The New York Times reported that Syria has put its most advanced missiles on standby with orders to hit Tel Aviv if Israel launches another raid on its territory. Reconnaissance satellites have been monitoring preparations by the Syrian army to deploy surface-to-surface missiles. An Israeli official told the newspaper that Israel was considering further strikes and warned Syrian President Bashar Assad that his government would face crippling consequences if he hit back at Israel. The Times of India reported that China is developing military robots equipped for warfare. Hungary is considering various revisions to its national constitution. German Chancellor Angela Merkel doesn't agree with those amendments in another country. Speaking at an EU forum, she said Germany will try to persuade Hungary not to amend its constitution, but, quote, not by sending the cavalry right away, end of quote. Well, that line didn't go well with Hungarian Prime Minister Orbán. Referring to the 1944 German invasion of his country, the prime minister quipped, quote, the Germans have already sent cavalry to Hungary. They came in the form of tanks. Our request is that they don't send any. It didn't work out, end of quote. Anchorage, Alaska set a new record for the longest snow season on record, 232 days. My advice, pay attention to the signs of significant earth changes that are underway. And the BBC, you know, that's the befuddled broadcasting company, reported that global warming experts are baffled by an unexplained standstill in the heating of the planet's atmosphere. The researchers say this standstill will reduce global warming in the decades ahead. Yes, it will. It's called the Little Ice Age, and it's going to last up to 200 years because the Earth has natural cycles. 200 years of climate warming, followed by 200 years of climate cooling. And 2013 is the tipping point. The planet is switching cycles. It's been doing this for thousands of years. The cooling cycle is starting. The global warming cycle is ending. And that's why it's still snowing in the month of May. In financial news, the U.S. Department of Homeland Security seized two financial accounts in the USA linked to digital currency Bitcoin. The move may prevent the firm from facilitating the purchase and sale of Bitcoins in the U.S. Using dollars at a time when use of the currency and its value has mushroomed around the world. Meanwhile, U.S. Treasury Undersecretary David Cohen is taking action to block Iran from purchasing gold. The U.S. Treasury crackdown also will block Iranian citizens from privately purchasing gold. And Swiss investor Mark Faber gave news interviewers an earful today when he said the USA is not a safe place to store your gold. In an interview with CNBC and Yahoo Finance, the reporter asked Mr. Faber, now, you're emphasizing stored gold outside the U.S. We're a pretty safe country, Mark. Why do you have to keep the gold out of here? And Mr. Faber answered, well, safe country? I'm not so sure about that under the present government, end of quote. Well, I'm Rick Wiles. You're listening to True News. I'm going to take a short break. I'll be back in a moment with my first guest, evangelist David Langford.
Reporting the countdown to the second coming of Jesus Christ, you're listening to True News, the End Time Newscast.
Scripture calls Jesus the first fruits of the resurrection. Here's a simple illustration from Dr. Stanley to explain why this is so significant for the believer. Here's a moment with Charles Stanley.
When a farmer plants a crop And he watches over the crop and makes sure that it has enough fertilizer and water and so forth. Then when it first begins to show some harvest, what does he do? He goes out, maybe whether it's an apple or whatever it might be, and takes a big bite. He says, this is going to be fantastic. Here's what he's saying. Watch this. He says, Jesus is the first fruits of the big crop. That is, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is the first fruits of all of those believers down through the centuries, time and eternity. And that is, if he is like that, so are we going to be like that. Sinless, perfect in every way that God could possibly make us.
Do you have a hard time believing that God sees you as perfect? Well, he's promised to give you the righteousness of Christ when you accept his free offer of forgiveness. So trust him. Learn more about salvation when you go to intouch.org and click All Things Are New.
Welcome back to True News, your Christian alternative source for global news, analysis, and commentary. Gold and silver regained some ground today after plummeting last Friday. Barron's Magazine reported there were two suspicious trades of gold last week that suppressed the price of the precious metal. Overall, more than 317 tons of gold was dumped on the market late last week, reviving conspiracies that the money masters are attempting to drive down gold in order to prop up the U.S. dollar. Well, I can assure you that China and Russia are sitting back enjoying watching the New World Order money masters manipulate the markets in their desperate effort to keep their Federal Reserve Ponzi scheme from imploding soon. Russia and China and a lot of other countries know what's coming: a reset in the global economy, a new global reserve currency based on gold, silver, oil, and a basket of tangible commodities with real value. As the money masters manipulate the prices of gold and silver to drop, Russia and China are scooping up hundreds of tons of gold, patiently waiting to hear the death gurgle of the Bilderberg Rothschild-inspired grand robbery scheme carried out by central banks around the world. So be smart and buy gold and silver as the prices plummet, but be even smarter by storing it in a stable offshore territory. Well, last night, as I was working on the news research for today's website, I was off on the side tracking the price of gold and silver on the Asian markets as those markets were opening during our evening hours. And I saw that both gold and silver were dropping pretty fast. In fact, at one point, the lowest price for silver last night, now it's come back today, but it reached a low of $20.25 last night. And when I saw those numbers, I immediately thought about a dream that David Lankford had months ago. And I've not had him on the program to talk about that dream, but it came to my mind last night. And so I called Evangelist Lankford, asked him if he would come on the program and tell us about that dream. David Lankford, how are you?
I'm doing very well, Brother Rick. Nice to be with you today.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Okay, well, let's start. When did you have the dream about the price of silver?
I would say it's probably been two and a half months now. It's possibly as long as 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not as well versed as you are to write all my dreams and things down. I just have them and try to keep them in my mind. And when they come to pass, say, well, you know, we know that was of God. So we just, I need to be better about writing things like that.
Well,
down.
Yeah, I know it's been at least 2 months and yeah. It could be as far back as 3 months. Tell us what you dreamed.
It was I would call it a flash dream. All of a sudden, I found myself in a type of a market, a financial market, and it was a thermometer. The silver was trading like on a thermometer, degrees up and down. And in the dream, I saw silver just descending and descending and descending. And in my dream, what I saw was $20 or thereabouts. And then all of a sudden, it exploded. You've seen these little commercials where the thermometer explodes at the top. Well, the silver shot up till it exploded, and it went so high that I could not see how high that it went. But the other thing in the dream that was what makes me want to put, you know, authenticity in it, because I want to be careful about these things, was the fact that the euro dollar had fallen down to 80 cents. And in the dream, I saw where it caused the dollar to go up. And I'm not, by no way, God knows, a financial guy, so I don't understand all of that. But when I called Steve Quayle and was sharing the dream with Steve, he asked me, he said, do you know where the euro dollar started when it was formed? I said, I have no idea. He said it was 80 cents. So looking back at the dreams, I said, to me it was like a flash dream. If I had to say how long was the dream, 30 seconds to a minute. It was just like a flash in my mind. I was in a financial market. I saw the level of the silver just going down and down and down and down. And I'm like, my God, when's it going to stop? And then when it got in my sight, I saw $20. And then, as I said, it exploded and went back to the top. And so I didn't know, as I said, about the euro dollar. And when Steve began to share that with me, it made me understand that as the currencies around the world became more and more depressed, that the dollar would go up. And it kind of appears that's the pattern that we're on. And so now, when I had this dream, as I said, it skyrocketed till it was totally out of sight. I cannot say how high it went or when it stopped or anything. I can't give you no timetable as to when it will do that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so there were two things in the dream. Silver, the price of silver descended to $20 and then shot up, but you also saw the price of the euro dropping to 80 cents on the U.S. dollar.
Right, right. And, of course, as I said, I'm not a financial guy. I'm a minister, so I didn't understand the ramifications of that other than knowing it had drastically lost its value. But then when I was sharing it with Steve Quayle, you know, he asked me, do you know where the euro started when it was formed? I said, I have no idea. And he said it was 80 cents. Of course, I know now it's about $1.30. So let me say this, and I feel led to say this because I know something is about to happen. I don't know exactly what is about to happen, but I really feel in my spirit, and I can't say this is a thus saith the Lord, but I feel in my spirit it has something to do with Syria. I feel in my spirit this is the linchpin that we've been looking for. I know people say, well, it's going to be Japan. It's going to be this or that. I'm afraid that war is going to erupt and the whole thing is going to go ballistic. Oil, all the metals, because I'm afraid that everybody's going to start to turn against Israel and the panic is going to explode because of what's taking place in Syria.
David, the situation heated up just in recent days. Over the weekend, Sunday Times reported that Mr. Netanyahu is prepared to carry out more attacks on Syria, and likewise that Syria has now activated their missiles and are preparing to attack Israel.
See, I wasn't aware of that. I do know Saturday night I spent a lot of time studying and praying, and again yesterday. I was so burdened yesterday. It was so depressing. I just got in my office and got on my knees, and I just cried out to God. And I just asked him, I said, Lord, would you just, you know, give me solace, give me comfort. And the Lord directed me to a very simple passage of Scripture that everyone knows. Ask, it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened. To everyone that asketh, receiveth, and to him that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. And I just felt like the Lord was encouraging me, if you'll just ask me for the right things, I will bless you and I will cover you. But I do sense in my spirit that the situation with Syria will cause all of this, the silver, the gold, the price of oil, as long as we're, you know, attached to the petrodollar, this is going to affect us negatively. And I just sense in my spirit a time of repentance. The people that are listening now, I would invite you, I would encourage you profusely. If there's anything in your heart, you need to get it under the blood of Jesus Christ. because we're getting close to an event taking place. And I don't have anything from God, but I just sense in my spirit that this right now is evolving around Israel and Syria. And so whichever way it goes, and you know, there's been a lot of talk of Israel attacking Iran. But if you look at Ezekiel 38, it will be Iran, Ethiopia. Of course, it says Persia instead of Iran. They attack Israel. So this may be, if Israel hits Syria, then Iran and these other nations, you know, that could be the fulfillment of Psalms chapter 83. Coming against Israel.
That's right. Well, David, next year, 2014, is the beginning of the 80-plus-year war cycle. And you know, this is just an historical fact that about every 80 years there is a major war that drastically changes the world. So we're coming up on that, the beginning of the war cycle, and that's, I think, about a four to five-year cycle. So 2014 to 2018-19, you know, very high likelihood of a major war in the world. So that is on the front burner. And then you mentioned earlier about the dollar strengthening, and that's precisely what is happening. In fact, I think the dollar is strengthening so fast and so high that the money manipulators, the money masters, will have to do something to suppress it,
right?
Because they can't allow it to strengthen too fast, too far.
Right, and with the fragility of everything, I've never seen everything in the world is as tenuous as a latex glove. I mean, everything is so tenuous it begs description. And I think once this thing finally starts to slide, I mean, slide off the deep end, you know, literally all hell will break loose. And everyone listening is going to be negatively affected. Don't think you're not going to come forth unscathed. We're all going to suffer. And I know over the weekend I have felt such a burden, a need to search my heart. I said, God, is there any sin in my life? Is there anything that I'm not even aware of, just presumptuous things in my life, things I'm not even aware of? Show me, because God's going to protect his people. And that doesn't mean we're not going to suffer, but he will protect us. We will see hard times. We're witnessing Exodus chapter 2, Exodus chapter 3. If we've ever seen scriptures being fulfilled, those two chapters, Moses is a type of Christ, Pharaoh is a type of Antichrist. When God began to move, it got worse. It did not get better. It got worse, Brother Rick, and the people got angry with the man of God. You've made our job harder. You've made it worse, because now we've got to make the same number of brick without our straw being given us. Now we've got to gather it, and it's going to get worse before it gets better. And I don't want people to think this is going to be a cakewalk. This is going to be very, very difficult. That's why it's called Great Tribulation. And I'm not even saying this is the Great Tribulation, because the abomination of desolation is what initiates the Great Tribulation. But we're ratcheting up to all of these events. And the blessings of God, he blessed Israel in their exodus with silver, with gold, and with the precious linen. And that was to further the work of God. So whatever God is getting ready to do to people who are going to be exponentially blessed, this is to further the work of God. It's not to go buy Mercedes-Benz or build more houses or things like that. It's to carry out the work of God. And they've got to remember that, because their gold and their silver that they think, well, this is going to be my salvation. No, it will canker on you. Now, when silver and gold becomes of no use, it's at the end of the Great Tribulation when we come into the wrath of God. Because in the 11th chapter of Daniel, I believe it's verse 30, the Antichrist is going to give and bless other people with silver and with gold and with precious stones. So they're not going to lose their value until the very end. It'll be at the very end that their value is lost. I said, that's a Daniel 11 and 38. But in his estate shall he honor the God of forces, and the God whom his fathers knew not shall he honor with gold and silver and with precious stones and pleasant things. So the Antichrist is going to use the gold and the silver as well, but when it becomes of no value, will be in the day of God's wrath. And so people need to understand that. I hear talk and this and that, but it'll be in the day of God's wrath. If they think that's going to deliver them, that will not deliver them.
And that's when they throw it into the street.
That's exactly right. That's Ezekiel chapter 7, verse 18. They shall cast their silver in the streets, and their gold shall be removed. Their silver and their gold shall not be able to deliver them in the day of the wrath of the Lord. They shall not satisfy their souls, neither fill their bowels, because it is the stumbling block of their iniquity. But I believe when James speaks of that in the book of James, he's talking about people using it for the wrong purposes, that it becomes cankered. It becomes like a rottenness to their souls because they're not using it for the right reasons.
Well, it's like the Hebrew people gathering extra manna.
You couldn't have said it any better. That's exactly. See, James chapter 5, go to now, ye rich men, weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. Your riches are corrupted, your garments are moth-eaten, your silver and your gold is cankered, and the rest of them shall be a witness against you and shall eat your flesh as it were fire. Ye have heaped treasure together for the last days. So they did it for the wrong reasons. If you go on down in that passage, it talks about the laborer, the hire of the laborers. They've reaped down your fields, which is kept back. You've kept it back by fraud. See, we're witnessing that right now, the injustices, the inequities in people's pay. Everybody's being cut. Everybody's being cut down. Hours are being cut down. This is all Bible prophecy. And their cries, James 5 and 4 says, you've kept back by fraud, and their cries have entered into the ears of the Lord of the Sabaoth. So this is going to go into God's hearing because they've been done unjust. And the riches, you see, I seen something this morning, I believe it was on CNBC, the richer are literally getting richer and the poor are getting poorer. Well, see, that's Bible prophecy. In Revelation 13, he calls it all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond. There's no middleman. Think about what he said. And he calls it all, both small and great. So you're either small or great, rich or poor, or free or bond. We've heard this for years about the middle class being diminished. Well, it's coming. We're in the throes of all of this. But
David, do you believe that God will have a people in the last days that he will supernaturally bless and increase because they have made a covenant with him to use that wealth for the preaching of the gospel of his son's kingdom?
Absolutely. Absolutely. As I said, Exodus chapter 2 and 3, that is the personification. Of course, the Exodus was in the 11th and 12th chapter, but he's getting them ready to send Moses. But he blessed them as they went out. And the true people of God, I've said this before, and I don't say this to be derogative or demeaning, but I've never had a poor man to be able to bless me. People have to have wherewithal to be a blessing. And so God is going to bless his people for the purpose of carrying out the gospel. And those who hoard it for the wrong reasons, it will become cankered. It will be moth-eaten. It won't do them any good, see, because you have to sow to continue to reap. And so when the sowing stops, so does the reaping and the blessing stop. If Christians could ever understand, I remember years ago when I sowed my first large seed, and God blessed me with a $10,000 gift. He said, if you ever stop, I stop. You must keep sowing, 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 so that I keep blessing and blessing. You know, Paul said, you sow sparingly, you reap sparingly. You sow abundantly, you reap abundantly. It's not about money. It's about a person's heart and their love and their desire. For God so loved that he gave his only begotten Son. So when people receive the Spirit of Jesus, they receive the Spirit of giving.
Because the giving is an expression of our faith and trust in our Heavenly Father to meet our needs.
Absolutely. Absolutely. When the three wise men met Jesus, they came with gifts to give. They received the Spirit of Christ, which is a spirit of giving. And so I'm excited because I know it's going to be difficult, but it's going to be some of the greatest times that we have ever witnessed in ministry, because this is about the kingdom of God.
That's right. You know, David, the Christians who are giving right now, I mean right now in 2013, the ones who are giving for the preaching of the gospel, man, they are some brave souls. I love them. Because they're saying, I don't care what the world looks like. I don't care how bad the news is. I have a covenant with my God, and He is going to take care of me. And I have made a commitment that I am going to sow into His kingdom until He removes me from this planet or Jesus comes, whichever comes first.
Amen, brother.
And I admire them because they're giving. They're not going to be persuaded by bad news to stop giving, because they would cut themselves off from the God who's the lifeline to them.
Absolutely. And why would you do that? Why would you do that?
If you're stupid, that's why. That's the only reason. You don't know your Bible. You don't know your God.
That's exactly right. Because I'm telling you, I'll never forget when I got that revelation. When you have the Spirit of Christ, the Holy Ghost is a gift. Everything that got salvation is a gift. Jesus was a gift. He said He would give gifts unto men. And I don't want people to misunderstand, but Rick Wiles is a gift to the people, because you have been given ministry talents, so you become a gift to the body of Christ. So when He said He gave gifts unto men, that's plural. He gives us gifts. He gives us talents so we can execute His work. But we become a gift to the body of Christ to make people to be sober, to be aware of what's going on. That when He gives us a dream or gives us a revelation or anything, we give that gift back to the people. You know, we don't hoard it and conceal it. No, I have no reason to hoard the things God shows me or you. Now, there's times He told me, don't share this yet. You wait till I tell you when to share it. But He ultimately gives us the freedom to speak that thing, whatever that it might be, or to reveal that matter. And so people have got to understand this is all about gifts and blessings. Psalm 68:19, David said, blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation. Every day God puts a load of blessings on us. Now, if we don't utilize those blessings properly, He'll take them. He took from the man that buried his talent, and that's not talents to be a carpenter. It was literal gold, and he buried it. That's why he said you could have leased, and I'm paraphrasing here, put it in a bank and drawn interest on it, but you buried it. I had one businessman tell me, he said, since I started supporting your ministry, my business has exploded. He said I was tithing somewhere else, and I wasn't getting anything, and started tithing to you. And he said, now it's unbelievable. I said, because it's fertile soil. You know, we're not con artists, you know, just like you. We're not trying to con nobody into nothing. We're preachers of the gospel. You know, we don't ride around in jet airplanes and fine cars and mansions. Our money goes back into the ministry.
Amen. Amen.
That's the difference.
David, got to run. My guest, evangelist David Lankford, the voice of evangelism. Thank you, Brother Lankford. Appreciate you coming by today.
Thank you. God bless you.
You're listening to True News, the End Time Newscast. Rick will return after this announcement.
This is Max McLean. How do we show ourselves to be approved by God? Listen to the Bible from 2 Timothy 2. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, and who correctly handles the word of truth. Avoid godless chatter, because those who indulge in it will become more and more ungodly. Their teaching will spread like gangrene. They say that the resurrection has already taken place, and they destroy the faith of some. Nevertheless, God's solid foundation stands firm, sealed with this inscription, the Lord knows those who are His, and everyone who confesses the name of the Lord must turn away from wickedness. From 2 Timothy 2, listen to the Bible. It's great for the soul.
Hear more at radiobible.org. That's radiobible.org.
Well, welcome back to True News. I'm Rick Wiles. In the previous segment of the program, we heard from Evangelist David Langford about a dream that the Lord gave him. Well, we believe the Lord gave it to him. He thinks it was a prophetic dream. We'll find out. But, you know, he received that dream about two or 3 months ago about the price of silver, which he saw silver dropping to $20 an ounce. And then he said it just skyrocketed after it reached $20. Well, as I told you last night, the low point was $20.25 per ounce. Now, it's climbed a little bit today, but that's why I asked David Langford to come on the program today, because I remembered hearing about that dream 2 or 3 months ago. So I wanted him to come on and share it with us. Now, another person who has had a series of dreams in recent days is Watchman Nathan Liao, Watchman's Cry. And I asked Nathan to join us also today and share with us the dreams that he believes the Lord has given him. So, Nathan, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing great, Rick. Thanks for having me.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Nathan, I understand you've had a series, I think it was four dreams that were in a series.
Sir.
Okay. And you've released three of them. Are you able to talk about the fourth one yet?
The fourth one, I'm not sure how to verbalize.
Okay. All right. So you're just trying to figure out how to state it. Well, when did you have these dreams?
April 7th.
Okay.
On the night of April 7th.
Oh, you had all of them on the same night?
One after the other. I had four of them, and that has never happened to me before.
That's interesting.
They were constant all night long. And in fact, when I woke up, I believe I called you 1 or 2 days later, but you were in a hurry. I think you were on your way out, so we didn't have a chance to go into them.
Oh, April 7th. That's I was traveling.
Yes.
I was away for 2 weeks. Yes.
Right. So I held on to them for a few days, but then the Holy Spirit started nudging me and telling me, you need to talk about this. So a few weeks later, I placed it on my News from the Wall program that came out on the 26th of April. And then I was on Doug Hagman's program on May the 2nd, where I shared the same things. And then soon after, I started getting emails, because some of the things I mentioned in my dreams are actually on the news right now. So
okay, well, let's start with dream number one.
Okay, I want to say right out of the gate, my nature is not to be a pacifist, Rick. I believe in self-defense. I believe it's our duty as a father, as a parent, to protect the innocent, protect your family. So I do not believe in just laying down. I want to say that right off the bat, because I've been getting emails from people saying, accusing me of laying down and trying to convince people that we should all be cowards. I do not believe in that. But I want to say that right up front. So when I had my dreams, the things that I saw and the things that went through my mind, that were on my spirit, the way I reacted to them in the dreams was out of character with my normal thinking, which told me that I had the mind of Christ in my dreams, the way that he wants us to react and consider and stop and take notice and just take everything in and have discernment and pray for wisdom. That's what God wants out of what's about to happen here in America. So let me just start at the beginning. In the first dream that I had, I was somewhere in a city in America, in a downtown area, and I knew that it was a downtown area because there were three lanes of traffic moving in one direction, and there were buildings on each side. The buildings right next to me or near me and within the block that I was in were 3 to 4 stories tall. And as I was standing in the middle of the street, there were no other vehicles. And then suddenly from behind me, about 4 or 5 Department of Homeland Security vehicles, those MRAP, you know, those artillery ones that we saw all over Boston a few weeks ago?
Sure. Mm-hmm.
They passed me from behind and stopped abruptly in front of me, and they all got out. And in my dream, I knew that where they were going. They were going to go to the building on their left side, on my left side, on the left side of the street. So once they were all out of their vehicles and a little bit away from the vehicles, so they were between the building and the vehicles, suddenly from the rooftops on both sides of the street, 10 to 15 men on the left side rose up, and also on the right side from the building top, so that would make about 30, I would guess, 30 to 40 men. They rose up from the top of the buildings, and they started firing down on the Homeland Security agents, and they mowed them all down. The agents were on the ground within seconds. And as this was happening, I started to scream. I was trying to tell them to stop. But it didn't matter. It was too late. And within seconds, they were on the ground, and I'm pretty sure that they had been killed. Some probably might have been wounded, but most of them were killed. And I began to scream in the dream, "What have you done? Why have you done this?" Because I knew that everything from that point on was going to change for America. I knew that because of this ambush that had happened, that the rules were going to change for every American citizen nationwide. And I knew that new laws were going to be written, that we're going to change everything. That the Civil War had started, and these individuals that did this, who at one time were labeled one thing, had now become enemies of the state, and now they were terrorists. And I knew it was going to change America forever. Now, some people have emailed me, and they said, "Nathan, are you sure they were legitimate patriots? Could they have been provocateurs?" I don't know that part. In the dream, I saw them as patriots, but whether they were pretenders, that part I don't know. But then the dream was over. And then immediately a new one started, and then I was located somewhere in the southwest of the United States. I have a feeling it was in the area of Arizona. I am not exactly sure, but I have that feeling. Now, in the second dream, I was looking out of the window of a motel room, and the parking lot for the motel is right outside the window, so about 50 to 75 feet away from the window where I was looking was the road. The road was two lanes of traffic in each direction, so it was four lanes wide. And there was a parade of thousands of individuals marching on the road, and they were going from the direction from my right, they were going left. So if I was looking north, they would have been going west. So I came out of the building, the motel room, and in my dream again, I had this urgency to plead with them not to do it. And in the natural, Rick, I would be asking, why are they marching off to war? They must have a good reason. I guess they're responding to something that is justified. But my thoughts in the dream, my mind was, please don't do this. So I started walking across the parking lot toward them, and I was shouting loudly, and I was begging them to go back, to turn back, to leave the ranks, not to do this, because they were carrying flags. They were dressed in camouflage. You could noticeably tell that some of them were veterans of the Iraq War, Afghanistan War, all the way to Vietnam. Some of them were older, but they were resolute. They were determined. They were marching off to war, and they were all carrying weapons. So as I walked to the edge of the street and begged them to stop, two of them saw me, and they left the parade, and they walked up on top of the parking lot toward me, and they said, "What's your problem?" And I said, "You guys, please don't do this." So they started arguing with me, and they thought that since I was trying to ask them not to, that I was some kind of liberal, Democrat, pinko, communist person, and they started calling me names, so I retreated, and I went back to the hotel room. And the march continued, but in my spirit, in my mind, in the dream, I knew that if they continued in the direction that they were going in the march, that a war was going to happen in America, and most of these people that were going off to war were going to be slaughtered. I knew that I knew in the dream they were marching to their death, and it wasn't going to end well. So when I got back to the motel room, I asked an individual that was there with me, "What do I do now?" He said, "Let's go." And we looked at a map, and he said, "If we go east, we'll end up in the direction of Texas." So that's why I have the feeling that I was in Arizona. So that dream was then over. And then a new one started, and this is the one that I have been wrestling with over the last few days, and I believe that I have received clarity over the last day or two. And the clarity of the explanation for this next dream, I'm going to be sharing. It's going to take me several hours to explain it, so on my next program, I'm going to be talking about it. But in this third dream, again, I was in a building looking outside of a window, and I was looking dead east, and the Astrodome was right in front of me, which told me I was in Houston. The Astrodome, I was looking right at it, and then I pivoted to the left, my left side, toward the north, and then I saw Joel Osteen's church. And it was weird because when I saw his church, the walls that were between me and the church disappeared. The wall that was on that side disappeared, and I could see inside of the church, and I saw that the church was empty. The stage was empty. There were no people there. And as I was telling myself or thinking about it, saying, "Huh, what could this mean?" I noticed that I had some binoculars around my neck. So I lifted the binoculars to get a better look at the stage of Joel Osteen's church. And when the binoculars came to my eyes, the scene changed. And instantly, I saw a train that was headed toward me. And it was odd because for the scene to change from a church to a train was weird in itself. And then I noticed that there were two to three individuals standing next to me. And I asked them, hey, do you see the train that's coming? And they said, Nathan, there's no train. And I said, yes, there is. It's right there. And I pointed in front of me. And they said, Nathan, there's nothing there. So when I lowered the binoculars, I saw that there wasn't a train. And when I brought the binoculars back, I saw the train. So it told me in the dream that I was looking through a prophetic tool that God allows. It was his tool. It's a prophetic looking glass. So as I was looking at this train, it started going faster. And this train was red. It had red on the front of it. And it started going faster and faster. And I knew in my dream that it was traveling 80 to 100 miles an hour. And I became concerned. And the people that were next to me, I started giving them a play-by-play. I said, you guys, this train's going faster. This doesn't look good. And then the train started to vibrate. The track started vibrating. And the train jumped the tracks, and it went to its left, which would have been to my right, which if I was looking northeast, the train went south off the tracks. So as it bumped off the track, it started skidding on the street highway that was next to it, and the screech was so loud, and then I started crying because I knew that this wasn't going to end well. And the train, as it started turning, I saw it had two red engines on it, and the load that it was carrying started jackknifing, and you know how rail cars will start getting all messed up as they're scraping down the highway. And as I was watching this, I began crying out and weeping, and then the road under the train started moving up and down like if you're popping a whip or you're holding a tight string or like a roller coaster. It started doing that, so the ground was shaking. And then behind the train was an explosion, an eruption. It was a mushroom cloud. It was very bright. And then after the mushroom cloud dissipated, there was a city burning on fire. And I woke up. I spoke to my wife about it, and I spoke to a few people. I didn't understand the train. The first two made sense. I mean, they speak for themselves, but the train, I got on the Internet, and I wondered, who has red trains? And in fact, I asked you that. You told me what red represents, and we went down the list. You know, Army, it represents emergency, alarm, blood, communism, all that stuff. But I was also wondering, is there a train company that has red engines? And the only thing I could figure out was Canada. Canadian Pacific Railway has that, but that's way up there, so that can't be related to this. So anyway, I've been wrestling with this. Well, I went on Doug Hagman's program and shared the same thing, and then within several days I got an email from someone that said, Nathan, do you see who Adam Kokesh is and what's going to happen on this 4th of July? I had no knowledge of that, so I began investigating that. And of course, by now you know what's going on with that, the march from Adam Kokesh. To do what I saw in my dream with weapons.
He's calling on people to carry guns to Washington, D.C. Is that correct?
Yes, to show that they cannot stop our freedom and they can't take away our weapons. So they're going to cross the bridge from Virginia into Washington.
Anybody who follows that man is absolutely ridiculous. I can't believe anybody would get behind that man.
I can't either, and if you have heard some of the interviews he has done, some of the rhetoric that he said, I have it right here, Rick. He has said, we will stand up to their unjust authority in whatever ways we see fit. We will use physical force when necessary and when appropriate. And then he says, when we march on D.C., liberty will be restored. So since then, by the way, he got arrested, I believe, for having marijuana, and they released him. But
this guy's a frequent guest on Alex Jones's program, isn't he?
He has, and now Alex said that he wants to try to do everything he can to keep the peace. So if there's enough cameras, maybe it won't get bad. So Alex is asking people now to go there with a lot of cameras to stop the riots. So,
but he's not. Alex is still supporting. He's supporting this armed march on Washington.
I saw the video, and I have it on my website, and one of my articles, Alex says, quote, unquote, we need to quit being timid and afraid. We need to go ahead and to participate in this because none of us are going to get out of this alive, out of this thing alive.
I'm going to tell you right now, every Christian, I don't care if you get mad at me. I don't care how many emails you send to me. I don't care. I'm telling you, as a preacher of the gospel, you need to sever your relationship with Alex Jones. End of discussion. If you are a follower of Christ, you need to sever your relationship with Alex Jones. Go ahead.
Okay. After I awakened, I sought God, and I prayed, Rick, and it is not in my nature, again, to just be a timid person, because I know there's a time. Ecclesiastes tells us this. There's a time for peace and a time for war. So that's the Bible. But in this particular circumstance, this march that I saw occurring, Rick, I don't know if the second dream, which had the march, was the beginning, or if the Patriot event was the beginning. I don't know what order they're going to happen in, but I just know that the march that they're wanting to do is going to play right into the trap, into the snare of what the powers that be want, what the regime wants. The regime wants an excuse to make Boston happen nationwide with their martial law. They are looking for that. They're slobbering over it. So the Christians that have discernment, I agree with you, Rick. We have to have the mind of Christ and be very wise, as innocent as doves, and very wise in how we participate and the way that we process our thinking in the coming weeks, months, and years. Because, Rick, I believe right now we are at the very, very beginnings of the timeline where civil war is coming. Now, I don't know if it's going to take weeks, months, or even a few years, but the chain of events is beginning now, and the bottom line is that civil war is coming to America. And when civil war happens, now, first of all, that term civil war is a broad term. What does it mean? It plays out in different ways, and in different nations it's played out in different ways. For example, civil means civilians, and sometimes there's pockets of civilian resistance, and they run off into the jungle, and they hide in the mountains and in the woods, and then they will come out and do their ambushes and sabotages of government forces, etc., and then they run away. And then there's other civil wars that you have everyone involved, like Kosovo, Serbia, Yugoslavia. Everybody was a target. The whole nation was fractured. And in our own civil war that we experienced in the 1860s, it was brother against brother, states against states. The whole country was fractured, north against south. And Rick, I believe that this is what we see approaching now. Real interestingly, the Battle of Gettysburg, one of the most bloodiest and costliest battles of the Civil War, where 20-something thousand casualties occurred on the north and in the south, so it was in the 40,000 range of casualties. The Battle of Gettysburg occurred between July the 1st and July the 3rd, 1863, which this coming July 3rd is going to be the 150-year anniversary of. And then the next day we have Adam Kokesh doing his march. So this thing is not...
Well, Nathan, I warned our audience in 2008 and 2009 that Barack Obama will start a civil war. I've always believed this man was sent to start a civil war. And he is an agent provocateur. He's a street thug. He's a Marxist revolutionary. And that's why he's been put in office by the shadow government, to drive the country to civil war. And what I believe is happening right now is that we're at the place in the book of Jeremiah where the governors of Babylon go to war with each other. Mm-hmm. That's what's happening. The governors of Babylon go to war with each other. There's a civil war in Babylon in the last days. That's what we're facing right now. Nathan, I only have about 2 minutes. Your thoughts as a Christian, how should Christians respond to this type of potential civil war, civil unrest, rioting in this country?
Rick, we all need to get a hold of the mind of Christ right now, because after civil war starts, people make choices that before they never had to make, and if they don't process them beforehand and know what they're going to do, they're just going to go along with because in civil war, the rules change. Opinions and disagreements become labels that then turn people into a friend or a foe, an ally or the enemy. Civil war is brutal, it's bloody, it's costly, and it results in dead people. That is what is coming, and right now the people of God need to It is so important, Rick, right now to get a hold that do not fall into the snare. You know that movie, Mel Gibson's Patriot, The Patriot, when he didn't want to be a part of it, but then he was forced into it. That's what I see coming. So people are going to find themselves actually forced into something they don't want to be a part of. So there's a lot of decisions that have to be processed right now.
And if this is judgment on this land, then as a Christian, you don't want to be in a situation where you're fighting against the judgment that God's bringing on the land.
Exactly. Because this thing's going to happen. People are going to turn into carnivores where before there were vegetarians, and it's...
And the way to stop it...
It's horrible, Rick.
The way to stop it is repentance. That is the only way to stop it. It is humble repentance before the Lord. All of us confessing our sins. All of us turning from our wicked ways. That is the only thing, Nathan, that will stop it. But
Amen.
We may be so far down the road at this point that it can't be stopped. Nathan, I appreciate you being here today and sharing these dreams with me. Nathan Leal, WatchmansCry.com. I want to reiterate what I said earlier regarding the armed march on Washington planned for July 4th by anarchist Adam Kokesh, a comrade of Alex Jones. Mr. Kokesh wants 1,000 Americans to march across Washington's Memorial Bridge with rifles loaded to warn the federal government that the people will not be intimidated. Christians, listen to me. Do not participate in this march. Do not be associated with this troublemaker. You are being enticed into a trap. And I also admonish Spirit-filled Christians, this is the hour to separate yourself from Alex Jones. His true purpose and assignment will be revealed in the days ahead. You and I are sons and daughters of the King of Peace, not Barabbas. We're marching to Zion, not Babylon. On a positive note, I want to thank all of the many people who have responded to our challenge in May to begin building this video studio and production center here at our Vero Beach headquarters. Last week, I mentioned a Fort Worth woman and church who is very special to Susan and me, because without her generosity 15 years ago, this program simply would not be on the air today. In fact, there are many people listening to me right now who were supporting this ministry 12, 13, 14 years ago. And without your faithfulness, we would never have made it, and we wouldn't be here today. And I mean this with all my heart. I thank God all the time for the wonderful people who have stood with Susan and me throughout all these years, going all the way back to the very beginning of this ministry. You are very, very special to me, because I know, had you not been faithful to God and supported this ministry, I simply would not have made it. Now the question is, 15 years from now, who will I be thanking God for standing with us now in 2013? Because we're at a crossing point. This ministry is making a transition. We're going to the other side, and we're building this state-of-the-art digital media platform. And there will be people in 2013 who will do something that will make it possible for many people years to come to hear about Jesus Christ.